Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And today we are picking up where we left off with the Hope Diamond.
Yes.
So to recap,
the Hope Diamond is a giant blue diamond the size of a walnut.
Yes. So giant and walnut may not go together in your head, but in terms of diamonds, it's quite sizable. It has passed through the hands of many people through the years. It first came into the Western record, anyway, in the 1600s. It was owned by the Sun King, King Louis XIV of France, as well as King Louis XV and XVI. And then it vanished for a bit. Showed up in London, was passed through King George IV of England and then into the Hope family, who then sold it off. It changed hands a few more times and ended up with Evelyn Walsh MacLean, who was an American heiress and a little bit of an eccentric in the way that most heiresses seem to be in history. And then where we get to is the end of her life. We ended part one with her passing away. And when she passed away, which was in 1947, her estate, in a tale that's all too familiar, particularly in relation to the Hope Diamond, needed to be liquidated to cover her debts. And in 1949, Harry Winston Incorporated of New York City, the famous Harry Winston Jewelers, bought the entirety of Mrs. MacLean's jewelry collection.
From the time he purchased the collection until late 1958, Harry Winston toured the Hope Diamond around the globe, often for charity.
And then on November 10th of 1958, Harry Winston donated the Hope Diamond to the Smithsonian, where it has been ever since.
That is where I saw it when I was...
That's where most people would.
When I was a child. I think if my parents had... Maybe not my parents. I think my grandparents were the bigger hypers of the Hope Diamond. And I think if they had talked about its history rather than its size, I might have been less underwhelmed when I actually saw it.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, it's this little blue rock.
But it's a famous and important blue rock.
It is.
Spanning centuries of history.
Yes.
The famous gem has actually left the Smithsonian on several occasions.
In 1962, it was on display at the Louvre for 1 month as part of its 10 centuries of French jewelry exhibit.
And in 1965, it was shown in Johannesburg, South Africa in the Rand Easter Show.
In 1984, Harry Winston Inc. borrowed the diamond for their 50th anniversary celebration.
And in 1996, it actually went back to Harry Winston Inc. again, this time for restoration and for cleaning.
In 1998, the diamond moved into a new exhibit at the Natural History Museum of the Smithsonian Institution, the new Harry Winston Room in the Hall of Geology.
And in 2010, the Hope Diamond was actually placed into a new temporary setting, courtesy of Harry Winston, Inc. It was part of an anniversary celebration for the diamond, and it was called the Embracing Hope Setting, and it was actually chosen by popular vote. They had, I think they narrowed it down to three designs and then let the general population vote on it, and that was the one that they selected. So that was the temporary setting for it.
The diamond is one of the most visited museum exhibits in the world, and it's displayed behind bullet and bombproof glass. Its value is roughly $350 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of greenbacks. But one of the main things we're going to talk about on this part two episode is the curse of the Hope Diamond. As with many famous jewels in history, this one has a curse attributed to it. But as we'll see, a lot of the things that people say are the cause of the diamond are really either not the cause of the diamond or didn't even happen. So we'll start with those. And as we mentioned, the curse rumors really went into overdrive in the early 20th century. Here are a few of the common untrue tales of the curse.
There's one story that says that the explorer who discovered the diamond stole it from a Hindu temple. In this version of the story, this discoverer was later ripped apart by dogs, and the diamond was cursed as a result. In some versions of this story, that discoverer is Jean-Baptiste Tavernier, but in others, it's some other explorer who later gave it to Tavernier. We know that Tavernier made it back to France safe and sound, not dismembered by dogs, and continued to sell gems. He did write in his travel journal of a local jeweler in India extracting a diamond from an idol's eye and being punished for it, which reminds us of Indiana Jones.
Yeah, so it's possible that that description that he made in his travel journal somehow got through, you know, word of mouth discussion of it, turned into the story of how he got the diamond, but that's never been substantiated at all. Louis XIV's death of gangrene is attributed to the diamond. That's kind of kooky.
Some people attribute the bad fortune of Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette's reign to their possession of the French blue.
Yeah, there's even a story of Marie Antoinette wore this diamond and look what happened to her. But in fact, it still would have been in that Order of the Golden Fleece setting, which was really for men and for the king to wear for ceremonial things. So it's actually unlikely that she ever wore it. So again, there are many things that they possessed that you could say were their bad luck, but
they possessed silverware.
Yeah.
Plates.
All the things. Henry Philip Hope and his family certainly had an assortment of troubles while the diamond was in their possession. But again, some of those things seem like they probably would have happened anyway.
Well, and presumably they had troubles at other times too.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where they, it was in the family for a long time. There was a lot of debt and poor money management, but that, to me, suggests that they just weren't great with keeping their hands on their money or managing it very well.
Right.
Less so than anything else.
Well, and every time I hear these stories, I kind of just want to rattle off terrible things that have happened to people who are not in possession of a walnut-sized blue diamond.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are literally lists and lists and lists that you could find of things that people say must be because of the Hope Diamond and the curse that it carries. But what's really interesting is that when you really dive in and you look for where all of these rumors really came from, there are actually two main sources, one of which may surprise you.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet, and also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
One is May Yowei, the wife of Francis Thomas Hope, one of the many people who have sold the diamond to cover debts. She wrote many accounts of the diamond's curse, including her own misfortunes and unhappiness after having worn it. She even made a Hollywood movie about the curse.
Yeah, and there's actually some debate about whether she did actually ever wear it. The other person, and this one's quite fun, if you remember how Evelyn McLean came into possession of the diamond, she purchased it from P. Pierre Cartier. And as we know, Cartier, very famous name in high-end luxury goods. And it appears that Pierre Cartier was actually one of the people who really stirred this rumor pot. It's said that he was a master salesman and that he actually knew that the legends and mystery attached to the diamond would really pique Evelyn Walsh McLean's interest as a buyer. And as we mentioned in the first episode on this, she talked about in her autobiography, you know, kind of this sense of like mystery and the diamond staring back at her and her joining her fate to it, when she put it around her neck for good or bad. And so clearly those stories worked on her.
Right. Well, and both of these people who seem to be the two main sources of all these rumors had a vested interest in telling a good story.
Yeah. There was profit to be made from it.
Yes.
And of course, that doesn't account for the ill fortunes that befell McLean while she owned the diamond. But as we said in the first part of this story, she didn't give that much credence. She basically said, you know, bad things happen to people. They probably would have happened to me whether I had this diamond or not. It's not the diamond.
Even the mailman who delivered the diamond to the Smithsonian, because yes, it was sent in the mail, James Todd, crushed his leg in a truck accident, had head injuries from a car accident, and then had his house burned to the ground.
Yeah, so people that had already bought into the curse thing, you know, they're just adding that to the list of the catalog of obvious curse support for it. And some people have even attributed the troubles of the United States to the Hope Diamond and its presence in the Smithsonian. The museum actually continues to receive letters about the curse that blame the Hope Diamond for basically any problem we've ever had. I mean, terrorist attacks, Hope Diamond, economy issues, Hope Diamond. They're literally getting constant complaints saying that they need to get rid of this item in their collection because it's bringing bad fortune to the country.
Well, and then it does seem to be a trend of people with a diamond having debt issues.
They do. Although part of me thinks there's like a cause and effect element there.
I think more
like the person that's going to spend a whole lot of money on a piece of jewelry is
right.
Maybe not the most prudent spender to begin
with. Yeah, if you are the sort of person who will buy a giant rare blue diamond. Maybe you have other things going on.
Yeah. And there is one account I just want to mention as a side note that when McLean bought the piece from Cartier, there was a deal that if nothing bad happened to her in the first 6 months, she would keep it. But if something bad did happen and it was, in fact, cursed, she would get her money back. But in any case, she kept it for more than 3 decades. So,
yeah.
And wore it almost daily. I mean, just around the house.
Well, and part of me is like, man, that is so silly. And then part of me also knows that, like, if I was trying to buy a house and someone told me that the house was haunted, I might not want it anymore.
Really?
Even though I know that's completely irrational.
I know it's irrational, and I would still want it more, I think.
Okay. So if somebody ever offers me a haunted house, I will sell it to you.
Maybe, but I already have a house. I really couldn't afford two, I don't think.
Okay.
But in the more modern era, there have been some really interesting things going on with the Hope Diamond that have nothing to do with curses and only to do with science.
No, we are not debunking curses with science. We're doing cool other stuff with science.
Yeah. In 2005, so as we mentioned, there in all of the various stories of this diamond resurfacing, there was not usually attribution of like, oh, I purchased it from this person for this sum of money. It just kind of shows up in people's catalogs of things that they have. And when it left France as the French Blue, it vanished. And then 2 decades later, this similarly colored but smaller diamond appeared in London. And so there had always been this almost a presumption, I think, on the part of a lot of historians that, yes, that is the same piece, but it was just that. It wasn't supported by anything but circumstantial evidence. But that changed in 2005.
That's when a research team was able to use computer analysis to determine that the Hope Diamond was indeed part of what had been the French Blue, so it confirmed its lineage. The team worked from detailed sketches of the jewel that were made when it was part of the French Royal Collection. Then Smithsonian gem curator Jeffrey Post and his team were able to assemble computer models of the stone at its 18th century state and see that the Hope Diamond would have nested into it perfectly in one orientation. In an interview with the Associated Press, Post said, it turns out it actually fits perfectly in only one way. But at that orientation, when you saw how it fit, you could see why it was cut the way it is. They cut the corners off the French blue, changed slightly the angle of the bottom facets, and that produced the Hope Diamond.
And then in 2008, a French research team did a similar analysis using scanners and lasers on a lead copy of the French blue that was found in the National Museum of Natural History in Paris. There's one named that here as well, but this is the Parisian one. And working with measurements from the Smithsonian of the Hope Diamond for comparison, so the two museums were working in conjunction, they came to the same conclusion. It really just bolstered the earlier findings that, in fact, this diamond had been a part of this bigger diamond, and they were able to really kind of identify how it had been cut down, which is really cool.
I love how there's a lead copy of it.
Yeah. That was just sitting in the museum
for
a long time.
And I was like, hey, let's compare these things. In 2010, a team of scientists at the Natural History Museum drilled into the Hope Diamond to remove atoms from it to study it. Drilled may sound scary, but the crater created by the ion beam used in the procedure was only 10 angstroms deep. That's just a hair more than 4 billionths of an inch.
Yeah, it was a very precise procedure that was done. And the way it's described, it's like they hit it with this ion beam, and then there's like a vacuum effect of the atoms that get kicked up being pulled into their receptacle for analysis. And those initial results that they got from it indicated the presence of carbon, hydrogen, possibly nitrogen, and boron, which they had already suspected, because the boron is credited as giving the diamond its blue hue. And what's interesting is that it's actually not uniform in its distribution throughout the diamond, which means that the Hope Diamond is actually multiple shades of blues, but to the naked eye, it looks quite uniform.
When exposed to UV light, the diamond exhibits a mysterious red glow when the light is extinguished. That's because when exposed to UV light, the boron and nitrogen in the diamond interact in a way that produces phosphorescence. This phosphorescence is expressed in the form of a red glow.
Yeah, and it glows that way for several minutes. It doesn't just like, you know, when you turn off the UV light, it doesn't just glow slow, quickly and burn right out. It really holds the glow for a little while. And that's one of those things that when scientists were first announcing that they had discovered that it glowed red, and other blue diamonds do the same thing, that people attributed it back to the curse again. Like, oh, it's got mystical powers, it's glowing red.
Because it's haunted.
But in fact, it's boron and nitrogen interacting within the gem. And I think one of the really fun notes that came out of this while I was doing research is that anytime any of these scientific tests are being done, it's usually in the dead of night. Like when the museum's closed, they have to pull an all-nighter to take it off display and do these things like drill into it carefully or take it out of its setting. And as Jeffrey Post, who we mentioned earlier, he's the geologist and curator at the National Museum, he told Kenneth Chang of the New York Times, quote, "The public gets really surly when the Hope Diamond is not there on public display." So that's why they have to very, very carefully select their times when they can work on it, when they know that they have.
It does not surprise me at all.
Yeah, and so that actually slows some of the scientific research because they have to rush it back to display before the museum opens in the morning.
Yeah, I'm imagining like harried docents being screamed at by people who came just to see the Hope Diamond.
Yeah,
not there.
I mean, as we said, it is one of the most visited museum exhibits in the entire world.
It would be like going to see the Mona Lisa and the Mona Lisa is not on display that day.
There's like a big sign that says like, pardon our progress.
People are like, seriously, I came all the way to France.
Yeah, because people do make trips just to see that one thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not unheard of.
And I feel like I could be remembering this wrong. I feel like that when I saw the Hope Diamond as a child, that it was a trip, a family trip to Washington, D.C., and I feel like it had just returned from that 1980s being away.
Yeah.
Like there was a big promotion around the Hope Diamond being back. Everybody was really excited about it.
Yeah, they have to be very, anytime it is going to leave or go off display for any period of time, they really have to message it early, very clearly.
It will not be here.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see on the Smithsonian website anytime, any of their big exhibits are going to come down. There's usually like a big alert. This thing is not going to be on public display for the following times.
Yeah.
Because, I think, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I think the last time that I was in D.C. and went to the Smithsonian, I think I thought about going to see it, and instead I looked at dinosaurs.
See, I think I've done that many times, and I'm overdue, so I need to make another trip there and go see it. Whether you look at the Hope Diamond from a historic angle, because it has traveled through the pages of history for hundreds of years, or the curse angle, of which there's a lot to talk about there. Whether you believe in curses or not, it's interesting how people want to attribute every bad thing that happens to this diamond. Or the scientific angle, it's a really unique and entrancing gem. And it's no wonder everyone's heard about it, even if the stories have kind of gotten jumbled at times along the way. But I think what's really interesting is that we're probably going to get a lot more scientific research done in the next several years. Again, it's slow going because they have to do it in the middle of the night. But I know that they kind of, the curators there kind of look at it as almost a portal into geological history because it has been around for so long.
So since we've confirmed that it is from France and was stolen from France. Or any talk of it returning to France?
No. In fact, when that French team published their thing, they're like, their findings.
Please don't give it back. It's cursed.
No, it wasn't even that. They were like, nah, it's really unlikely. You know, it's been at the Smithsonian for so long, and, you know, there's a very cooperative trust amongst the museums anyway. It doesn't seem like there's any big effort or desire to chase that down. Because even if it was stolen from the French monarchy or the, you know, revolutionary government, at that point it had been so long ago. And remember, it didn't surface again in London until after the statute of limitations on the theft would have run out.
It's convenient.
So, yeah. So it's really probably not an issue worth fighting over, or even, you know, starting the paperwork would be probably a train wreck of of man hours. So not really likely. I would be shocked if at some point the French government said, give me that.
So give that back. It's ours.
Fine. We want the pretties.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel for for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road trip or waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian, someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet, and also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day, seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if everyone's being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource, and paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Do you also have some listener mail?
I do, and I'm overdue to read this one. This one comes from our listener, Christopher, who says, "Greetings from the land of the rising sun." It's a postcard. It says, "I am in the Navy, stationed in Japan, and have listened to all of your episodes during the long days at sea. I appreciate the research on each topic. Recently, I listened to several episodes while hiking to the top of Mount Fuji." Keep up the good work. I just wanted to read that because thank you for your service, Christopher. We appreciate it an awful lot. And I like knowing that, it is being listened to on Mount Fuji.
And at sea.
And it's a really beautiful picture of Mount Fuji. It's a little weather-beaten because coming through the Postal Service, postcards don't always get treated with tender, loving care.
Well, and even once they get into our building, they're not always treated.
Yeah, there are many points along the path that things can really meet a rough...
A lot of sorting has to happen.
Rough activity. So if you would like to write to us, you can do so at historypodcast@discovery.com. You can connect with us on Twitter @MistInHistory or on facebook.com/historyclassstuff. You can also visit us at mistinhistory.tumblr.com or on Pinterest, where we have a board full of historical things to behold. If you would like to learn more about what we talked about today, you can go to our website and type in the word curses in the search bar, and you will get an article called 10 Famous Curses. And unfortunately, the Hope Diamond curse is not included, but many others are. And you can also research almost anything else you would like at our website, which is howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Audible.com is the leading provider of downloadable digital audiobooks and spoken word entertainment. Audible has more than 100,000 titles to choose from to be downloaded to your iPod or MP3 player. Go to audiblepodcast.com/history to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.